Welcome. You're listening to the RPC Sermons podcast. You can join us for virtual worship every Sunday at roswellpres.org. Thanks for listening.
It's great to be with you. As I said earlier, we have two lessons this morning, an Old Testament and a New Testament lesson. Old Testament from the book of Joshua, a New Testament from the second letter of Paul to Timothy. But before we go to God's word, let us return once again to God in prayer. Let us pray together. God, as we open your word, read your scripture to us, we ask but that by your Spirit you unveil it to us, that you help us to discern and understand, not only for our intellectual gain, but that we may live these words as you have called us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So from the book of Joshua, chapter 24, beginning at verse 14. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you're unwilling to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the New Testament lesson comes from the letter, second letter of Paul to Timothy, starting at chapter 2, verse 1. You then, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Thanks be to God. So we're 3 weeks in. This is week 3 of the sermon series, This Is My Story. And you may have seen these cards. You may have seen the graphic. And the question on everybody's mind is, which picture are you? I got to break it to you. None of them are me. It's true. When this graphic was being put together, our communications team, there wasn't easy access to a baby picture. So my solution to this problem, I couldn't get one, was, well, just duplicate Ryan's picture. Everybody gets confused by us all the time, and actually his baby photo, which is the one on the far right, looks kind of like me and I did then anyway. In the 6 months that Ryan has been here, I've been here 3.5 years, in 6 months Ryan's been here, both of us have had complete and full conversations with many of you believing that you were talking to the other one of us. I am not lying. He has learned so much about mission and outreach that he didn't want to know. And apparently I've been doing all sorts of visiting in hospitals and doing congregational care stuff that really I know nothing about. Well, communications team did not like that idea. They thought it's confusing enough, let's not make it worse. I thought I liked the joke. So I submitted to them a baby photo of my eldest son. That's as close as I could come. So the cute guy in the middle, that's Jared. There you go. He looks a lot like me. Sort of, kind of. So we've heard two testimonies. See, the idea behind the sermon series, This Is My Story, was, okay, a couple of things. One, Jeff and Courtney are about to have a third child, and we know that's happening right around Easter, and he's not going to be available to preach and prepare the way he does. And so we need to plan for 3 or 4 weeks or so to allow him to get used to this bigger family. And it's a good opportunity for all the associate pastors to be able to kind of preach and tell their stories so that the congregation gets to hear a little bit more about who these people are. And as a consequence, then, think about the stories that's happening in their lives. It's a great idea. And we've heard two powerful testimonies. First, Scott, and last week, the golden child of RPC, Carrie, got to preach. Yeah, exactly. And then it's my turn. You've got to be kidding me. I have problems, difficulty putting together a sermon with any conviction or any passion unless I understand what the message is for me, how the message applies to me. And I could not get my head around this idea of this is my story. And the backside of this card says God in my story. And I wrestled with it and I struggled with it until I finally came to the conclusion the issue for me was that this is backwards. It's not resonating with me the way that I think. No, I understand the intent. I understand the premise behind it. And that's not to diminish or take away from the last two sermons that have come in this series. But for me, God in my story puts me in the driver's seat. And nobody wants me in the driver's seat. The idea of God in my story suggests that I am the author of my own life and that I determine my own destiny. And I have this really cool friend, I don't know, let's call this friend God, who I invite along to participate with me in case I need some help. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't think that's the way it should be. I understand that God ultimately is the author, the one doing the writing. And I am participating in the divine story, the story that God is writing. Now, the issue of us being the center of attention, of humanity being the center of attention and feeling like it's all about us, is nothing new. From the beginning of time, humanity has wrestled with this notion of who's in charge. And who is this all about? Genesis chapter 11, we hear the story of the Tower of Babel. And the people gather together and they say, let's build a great city. And in the midst of that city, let's build a huge tower, a tower that reaches to the heavens. What's their motivation? What's their purpose? Scriptures say, to make a great name for ourselves. Another translation says, to make ourselves famous. Humanity at the center. It's all about us. Move along to church history. For generations, the church endorsed the idea that the earth, and by consequence, humanity, were at the center of all creation. This view was understood and taught by Aristotle, and it was promoted by the church. Only makes sense. We're the pinnacle of God's creation. We must be at the center. Everything about life revolves around us. Until Copernicus and Galileo come along, and then through mathematics and observation, they discern that though it appears throughout the day that the sun is tracking across the sky, in actual fact, it's the earth revolving and rotating around the sun that causes that illusion. The earth, and by consequence, humanity, are not at the center of creation at all. Copernicus waited until the very end of his life to publish these findings for fear of the consequences, the retribution that might come from the church. Galileo spent the end of his life under arrest for daring to promote this heresy that the earth, that humanity was not the pinnacle or that the center of all that God created. In our own time, we're not a whole lot different. Yes, we understand that the earth is not the center of creation, but we have multiple other ways to put ourselves in the middle of the story, to have this idea that we are writing our own narratives, that we are creating our own destiny. We are inundated with these messages all the time. And if that's the case, then we just have God along to make sure. If we choose to accept God at all, then God is just there to make sure that our life goes well. that we're comfortable, that we have everything we need, that we're satisfied, that we get recognized for the great things that we choose to do with our own lives. That's what God is for, just to kind of pat us on the back. I think that's completely misconstrued. There's a theologian named Robert Weber who had similar questions about this narrative, this idea that we are the ones that are the author of our own destiny, and God is just a passive observer, just riding along. He says this: a dominant error is to say, I must bring God into my story. The ancient understanding is that God joins the story of humanity to take us into the divine story. There's a world of difference. One is narcissistic. The other is God-oriented. It will change your entire spiritual life when you realize that your life is joined to God's story. Our Old Testament lesson comes from Joshua at the end of his life, encouraging the people of Israel and saying, you have a choice to make. Which God is it that you will serve? There were the gods of the Egyptians, there were the gods of the Amorite, there were all these gods, but for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I wonder were Joshua here if he would ask us the same question. Which God are we going to serve? Are we going to serve the God of our hedonism and our selfishness and our consumerism? Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. He does not say, we will have God endorse the life that we're going to write for ourselves. No, we will serve the Lord. We choose to become part of God's narrative. My own understanding. If you have any, you want to know a bit about who I am, the only way to understand that is to see the influence of significant people in my life over the course of time. These people invited me into God's story as was being written through their lives. And as a consequence, it impacted and affected me. Our New Testament lesson comes from, again, second letter of Paul to Timothy. What you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to reliable other people who will then pass this message on still further. It's the ministry of multiplication. Paul writing to Timothy, who will then share it with other reliable people who will go on and share it once again, on and on and on. It's discipleship. My life, the person you see in front of you now, the way that I speak, the way that I act, the way that I do, is as a result of incredible people inviting me to be in God's story along with them. People like Ross and Doug and Chris and Pua and Cindy and Newt and Daryl and Lindsay and many others. I preach the way that I preach because of them. I have a passion for service and serving others because of the example that I've seen in their lives, what they demonstrated to me. My desire to hang out with students as much as possible is a consequence of seeing that replicated in my own life. These people, some of them are older than me, some of them are younger than me, some were students of mine, some were mentors. It didn't matter. They invited me into my life, into their lives, as God was writing that story in their life. And it changed me. The story that I was writing for myself would have been very different. I was pursuing law enforcement or potentially a career in the Navy. But I was open enough early on to be influenced by some spiritual mentors, and my life took a different trajectory completely. Now, that's not to say that someone who feels a call to law enforcement or to serve in the Navy or any other profession is not living in the life that God is writing for their life. It just wasn't the story that God wanted to write with my life. And this pastor thing is a new gig for me. This is all new, and I'm still trying to figure out, what is it, God, that you are trying to say? How are you trying to use my life to speak and communicate your message? Because it's about you. It's not just my idea. Other people understand that we are not the center of all things. The great American poet, Walt Whitman, in his famous poem, O Me, O Life, he's asking a question. It's the first two-thirds of it are kind of depressing because he's looking at life and he's looking what's going on around him. He's saying, this is not great. O me, O life. The questions of these recurring. I'm asking these questions over and over again. And then he goes on and he says, this is what I observe. I observe the endless trains of the faithless, cities filled with the foolish. And he says, at the end of this section, he says, the question, O me, sad, recurring. I have this sad, recurring question all the time. What good amid these? What good am I? I'm just like them. Lost, confused, plotting. Then he says, the answer. That you are here, that life exists, an identity. That the powerful play goes on, and you may contribute a verse. Whitman understood that the play was being written by someone else, and that our role is to just contribute the verse that we were called to contribute. The author of James says it differently. Look, you who say, today or tomorrow we're going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We'll do business there and we'll make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like a morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans. There is a tension between the idea that we are the authors of our own destiny and writing our own stories, and the understanding that God is ultimately the author, writing the narrative, the meta-narrative that is all-inclusive. And it changes our perspective and it changes our focus to accept that. I believe that there's beauty in understanding and accepting the idea that God is the author and we are just playing the part that God has called us to. And the beauty is this. It completely transforms our focus from inward to outward. We're less concerned about what's going on in here and more concerned about, God, how are you using me out there? Our motivation then is to seek to serve rather than to be served. We have endless, beautiful opportunities. When people or situations, circumstances come through our lives, to engage with those in a way that God has called us to be. To live the life that God is calling us to in the narrative that God is writing. It changes the questions that we even ask. We wake up every morning and we say, God. God, who is it that you would like me to serve or mentor or disciple today? Who is going to come in and through my life in this grand story that you are writing? And how would you have me connect with them? It's a completely different focus. We have the opportunity, a grand opportunity, to take part in the play that is being written by the creator of the universe. And we get to contribute a verse. How fantastic is that? I'm working. I'm trying every day to try to understand what verse God wants to write with my life. What verse has God called you to contribute? Amen.
You've been listening to the RPC Sermons podcast. Please let us know you're here by visiting roswellpres.org and signing our digital friendship register. May the grace and love of God be with you today and throughout the rest of your week. Thanks for listening.